tell me first a little bit about the process. This was a little unusual. There was not an election for this latest seat on the school board, but did people put their own names forward? Were they nominated? Tell me how that worked.
That's correct. So it was an appointment process to fill a vacancy. So the last trustee for Area 3, Evelyn Anderson, took a very important job to be at the French American School and left a space on the board for folks who were interested to put their names into the hat for consideration, essentially. So there was an application process, and I put my name in for consideration in this wonderful process. And it was very, I think, humbling, honestly, an experience, and also very inspiring.
Who decided who was going to be the next school board person chosen?
It was a decision that the sitting board members made in public at a public meeting after hearing from folks in the community who came out to speak in support of candidates and issues, both to help the board make that decision and to get a sense of what the public's interests were in this new position.
All right. So you obviously had to make a case why you should be the person. Tell me what the case was that you made.
It's an interesting question. So maybe I'll talk about it in kind of more the reasons why I was interested in putting my name in the hat. So one of the things that I found really moving and inspiring about this board in particular is the way in which this board has led on questions of equity in Santa Rosa City Schools. This is a board that, with my addition, now really represents the diverse students that the board serves. So we've got 3 Latinos, an African-American gentleman, a Chinese-American woman, and 2 Anglo folks. And the fact that you've got, you know, folks in leadership positions at the district to really serve and understand and bring their own experiences to bear as we make policy decisions to ensure that teachers and students together have the supports that they need to be successful was meaningful for me. The idea that there is a critical mass of people really thinking and talking about how to implement equity, making it less squishy, essentially, was something that was inspiring for me to figure out how best to join that effort and how to be in support of ensuring it be successful.
Now, I know school boards, I just got a text the other day from a national organization, I think it's called something like XQ, and they said that school board elections and the choosing of members of school boards are the things that sometimes fall by the wayside in communities, that there have been school board elections where there have been a 2% engagement rate in the electorate, or a 5% or 10% when it comes time for an election. And I think perhaps you would agree that the first step is to really get the community engaged in what's going on in schools. Is that your view as well?
Absolutely. I come from a family of educators and union organizers, and central to both of those positions is a deep respect and a dedication to the idea of community engagement. Essentially that really you're not able to, one, understand the needs of the people that you're attempting to serve if you're not meeting with them and speaking with them and going to where they are and hearing from them. And it's one of the things that I think, again, was highlighted by the quality of the candidates. There were 4 candidates, including myself, who were in consideration in this process. And I think it spoke a lot to the ways in which our community is deeply engaged on questions of education at the Santa Rosa City Schools, that we had folks of that caliber who were really interested and inspired and dedicated to the idea of public service in our educational system. So I think what I really felt and saw was deep engagement and deep community interest in these issues. We also saw, for example, one of the recent things that the board handled and addressed was this question of A through G requirements as graduation, as essentially graduation requirements. A through G essentially allows for students to be eligible to apply to California Public Schools higher education. In higher education, as they graduate. And it was one of the things that Santa Rosa City Schools did not have in place. It set them apart from the majority of school districts in California. Essentially, we were allowing children to graduate without setting their path firmly on the direction to be able to be college ready. And so this decision that the board had in front of them really was, I think, a wonderful example of the ways in which our community is deeply engaged in these questions. So there was a groundswell of public opinion and of public testimony and lobbying and deep engagement, specifically from Latino parents and from parents who are monolingual Spanish speakers, in this question of how to ensure that equity is achieved in the ways in which we set forth kids after they graduate into the world. So I think that A through G decision and the way in which our community really deeply engaged with the board and the way the board responded and took a leadership position and I think really stepped into a place that I was really proud of that leadership as a parent of children of color, to really take those steps and to be responsive to folks whose voices are typically not heard in many of those hallowed halls of the city council chambers and the board of supervisor chambers was inspiring.
Okay, let's break down equity a little further. So there is one idea, as you were just saying, what is going to happen to kids after they graduate and making sure that nobody is left behind there. What are some of the other things that are very specific where you're going to say, okay, here is what equity looks like. This is what I'm going to fight for in the Santa Rosa City Schools.
So the way I understand equity is both as a process that ensures that all voices are heard in the decision making, in the consideration of certain policy items and issues, that we have an eye towards the ways in which we are engaging with folks who are interested and impacted by our decisions. And I think if a process is not inclusive, then the outcome is I think it's not legitimate. I think it doesn't reflect the needs of all members of our community who need to be heard. Including those who might need translation, including those who might need somebody stopping by their home to pick them up on the way to the meeting, including those who will need the handouts from school to be translated for them in order to understand what's coming home in their kids' backpacks. So I understand equity kind of deeply connected to the ways in which we engage with people and the process by which we make decisions. And then equity is also seen as an outcome. So how do we understand, using data, really analyzing deeply the data that's available to us and being able to call for new data if it doesn't exist for whatever reasons, because maybe the process hasn't reflected the need for collecting a certain kind of a data. And so I think the ways in which we combine a process and an outcome is the way in which we really achieve equity. So it's not so squishy. It really requires deep thinking and thinking outside of the box and making sure that you're listening to people from all different parts of our community that really reflect schools and the children who are in schools right now.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I'm sure is very much on your mind is the idea that people say what happens in schools can take the kids, you know, sort of only so far, and that a holistic view of their home life, of what's happening with their parents, of where they live, of their health, all of these things have to be part of equity, and they have to be part of an understanding of how children are able to advance. How does someone on the school board kind of get involved with all of those other things that aren't about school?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I think one of the things that I learned in the course of this process is the ways in which schools have really stepped up to play a much bigger role in a child's life than was previously required, honestly. So we have such inequities in our society that many times public schools are the place where children get a good meal. We have requirements as to what kind of food we serve kids in order to ensure that they are being nourished. And so that's an example of the ways in which schools have kind of stepped into a place that wasn't typical, or at least I think understood as as a responsibility of a school. I also think that as we see kind of increased attention to children's mental health, increased levels of anxiety of what happens with LGBTQ kids who are moving through transitions in their own lives, and how institutions are responsible for their safety and responsible to ensure that they are supported in that process and in that in those moments of transition. All of these things are additional requirements that schools suddenly have on them. And I think it's important for us to be able to articulate them and to accept them and to understand that those are now in our purview of what is the requirement of a public school system in order to be successful. And so I really see, you know, again, this school board having stepped up into many of those spaces to claim responsibility for those areas. And I think that's an enormous it's both an enormous responsibility, but they've also done it very proudly and very clearly. And that was another reason why I was moved to join this effort and to be part of that critical mass of people stepping into that space.
Okay, finally. You know, and again, I hope we'll talk regularly and we'll talk more. But for today, are you feeling that perhaps we're at an inflection point in terms of Latino leadership in Sonoma County and in our part of the county, especially in 2020? Roseland will be electing a member to the City Council of Santa Rosa. As you say, the Latino membership on the school board is now solidly looking after the lives of all children, especially Latino children in our area. Are we starting a new era here? And is your selection on the school board part of that new era?
Latinos in Santa Rosa City Schools now make up about 60% of the population. And it's my belief that in order to be truly democratic, institutions need to reflect their constituencies. And I see this school board as being and having taken a meaningful step in that direction. I also am deeply moved and honored by what I feel like is an opportunity for Latinos in public service to change the conversation. And instead of having people talk about those kids, we are able to say those are our kids. And we are able to bring to bear, I think, a way of understanding children's assets and children's experiences in a way that can be much more positive and not problematic or a burden or a drain. To be able to lift up what we know and what we've experienced has worked well for us in our lives. I am super inspired to be working with Stephanie Magnetti, who's 23 years old and who is a shining example of what success looks like at Santa Rosa City Schools, in the Santa Rosa City Schools. I'm deeply moved to be working with Omar Medina, who has been working for decades around questions of equity and political representation. And so is it a new moment? I don't know. I think it's a moment that has been many years in the making, and that and I'm again, I'm moved and I'm inspired and I'm excited about the ways in which I heard the board dedicate themselves further to ensuring that their institutions have the capacity, the experience, the ability, the understanding to truly serve and to truly start to solve some of these problems for our children.
Okay. Alegría de la Cruz, the last thing is, you know, I know you have a big job, a day job already at the county. How are you going to possibly do all of these things and keep your home life going and everything else?
I think my deepest investment in this process and in this new job of being a trustee on the board are my kids. And so they are going to continue to drive my priorities and how I choose to spend my time. I am so happy in my day job. I am so glad to do very, very meaningful work as a public servant. And so I think what it will mean is just being much more disciplined and making sure that I get some sleep to continue being able to move in this way.
Remind me, how old are the kids?
My children are, I've got one turning 8 next week, and my son just turned 12 last week. So we just passed the 7 and 11 the 7-Eleven time.
Well, congratulations on all of it. And again, I look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you.